Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast. My name is Ryk van die Kerk and my guest today is Rikus Nel. He is a financial planner at Brenthurst Wealth. Rikus, welcome to the show. We are currently seeing a lot of political and market noise, not only in South Africa, but in many other countries, including the US. How does this impact the advice you give to your clients?
Hello, Ryk, and hello to our listeners. Yeah, Ryk, I think it's a very difficult time on financial markets and to be in the shoes of an investor. I think to an extent the markets are getting a little bit more immune against market surprises and political surprises. We've seen a very dramatic sort of move from markets with Brexit, which was completely unexpected. I can't say that Donald Trump's election was more anticipated, but we've seen a lot less sort of market volatility subsequently. So I think, to an extent, I think people are accepting that the world and globe is in a difficult place. There's a legacy of problems that's actually carrying forward, even problems that originated pre the great financial crisis, and that we should probably refocus on fundamentals rather than just on political turmoil.
It's an interesting perspective that you think markets are becoming more immune. Is the advice you give currently to clients, or does that differ to the advice you gave, say, 1 or 2 years ago?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think what I pick up from my clients in particular is, the first announcement of a possible downgrade was a disaster. We were very busy fielding calls and emails, etc. And as these things are put in perspective and clients and I think investors are educating themselves. Not that I'm saying we've got all the answers, but I'm just saying all of these things has got a perspective, and it's got a broader perspective. And you can choose on which parameters to focus on, and whether you are going to give yourself out to go into a panic based on what you read on in a newspaper, for instance, rather than to go and have a look at let's say, raw economical data behind those. So I think clients in particular, and that's what we've seen, is becoming a little bit more, I almost want to say, comfortable with this sort of announcement and surprises. The rating agency announcement tomorrow and next week, we know it's coming, and I think a lot of people is prepared for it either way.
So if I summarize what you're saying is stick with a long-term fundamental plan, don't deviate due to short-term political noise. But do you think the risks facing investors, especially people saving for their retirement, has changed over the last few years?
Ryk, I think one component that's definitely changed is obviously a lower sort of return expectation. So what we see is that investors that are dependent on income from the investments has been probably a bit spoiled up until now with real high returns, and they could actually capitalize on that and have higher drawings. I think the markets going forward are going to be a lot less forgiving for high drawings, income drawdowns, and that's going to be difficult for, and especially in time like this, it's very difficult to actually give clients return which can't miss a year of return before they start digging into their capital. So I think there is a bigger focus on sort of fixed interest return asset classes, and that we've seen from cash and bonds. Obviously, those two asset classes globally is not doing much, so it doesn't give an alternative there, but definitely local. And again, when you look at income drawings, you try to ring-fence those from a currency volatility anyway. But I think income and focusing on income going forward is going to be a big priority.
As a financial advisor, you of course put your clients' money into different funds, especially the equity portion thereof. What fund managers do you believe is performing better in the current circumstances than others?
I think it's okay. So I think it's a little bit maybe just to create a, also a bit of perspective there, because I think what we're currently seeing is also a result of what has happened, let's say, over the last 2 years, and fund managers that's, let's say, done well over those 2 years are not necessarily doing well now, and vice versa. But what I can say is obviously, and this has been proven over and over again, if you have got the patience, value-focused investment do outperform, okay? But it takes a lot of self-discipline whilst those funds are underperforming to remain invested. And again, you know, if we talk about income drawdown, a value-style investment is actually very difficult to adopt because of the cyclical sort of returns and bulk returns which you receive in particular cycles. But yes, I think the fund managers that's doing well at the moment is definitely your value style managers, locally in particular. And globally, I think it's fund managers that typically focus on quality, in particular companies that's got a global footprint, high sustainable barriers to entry and competitive edge, and then high cash free flow. So yeah, I think value is something to remain on the radar.
Brentest Wealth has been a proponent of taking as much money offshore as possible, and that's been the advice for many years now. Is that still your position, given the current weakness of the rand?
Yeah. I think that take as much offshore as possible is also maybe need a bit of explanation, because in some clients' instance, there's no available money to take offshore, and that would be an inappropriate part of the advice. So for each client, that's individualized. But yes, the parts that we feel is appropriate to take, we have been advocating offshore a lot earlier than many other advisors. And it's paid off, I would say, rather well if you look at it at a, let's say, a 3 or 5 year cycle. From the start of this year, the rand has strengthened significantly. Where do we feel that the rand is, aiming to? I think a 13 to 14 rand is against the dollar is almost like mid range at the moment. Do we diversify because of the rand? No, we go to global markets also for sharing in sectors that we haven't got exposure through locally. I think a big drive from our clients, and that's just something that we experience in the boardroom, is there is an uneasiness about the political circumstances in South Africa, and there's uncertainty about a variety of things that's almost like, not even thought about in other countries. So I think we do have a unique situation. I'm not one of those that don't believe in a future in South Africa. But I think that is something that needs to be managed and sort of individualized on a client-by-client basis. At the moment, it's not that obvious to say, let's take all your money offshore that's available and appropriate for that. I do pick up optimistic signs about the local economy as well. So yes, the strategy is definitely dynamic and according to economical factors, but also in terms of client-specific components.
Money that you do advise clients to take offshore, where do you invest that money?
At the moment, we in favor for global equities, as I explained, the company types that I've explained earlier. It's a difficult call going into global bonds at the moment, especially we're trying to prevent government bonds in particular. And then something like global property, it has taken quite a big hit earlier this month and end of last, But we still think that's that there's value in there. It's an asset class that's yielding between 4% and 5% at times, which is actually very attractive in a low inflation environment and compared to your cash and bond yields at the moment. So those are, but in preference for global equities.
Let's talk about fees. Sometimes clients are more informed about fee structures than investment returns. What is your fee structure what is your engagement with your clients regarding fees?
Yeah. Okay, so I think in terms of fees, the appropriate way to go about it is to be fully transparent. If you're not, it's obviously just going to catch up with you somewhere and there's going to be a break of trust. So in terms of our fees, we positioning, I think, very competitively. We're not trying to be the cheapest in the market because I don't think that's the value add that we're trying to compete with. We're trying to focus on quality and give clients holistic financial advice. And with that is a cost on the business side. In terms of fees, I think it's, do you want the actual breakdown, obviously?
Just a quick breakdown, yes.
Yeah. So obviously, with your normal platform investment, there's a platform fee. Those, in terms of client size, range between 0.1 and, let's say, 0.4% plus VAT. Your asset management fee is ranging between anything 0.8 to 1.5%. Our own advice fee is a 0.75% plus VAT. And depending on the amount of planning that needs to be done up front, there could also be an initial fee.
Rikus, there are some of the index tracking companies that are aggressively attacking the fees of the whole industry. Some claim that the fees over a long term can reduce your return by 40%. Another one claims 60%. What is your perspective on those type of marketing exercises?
I've heard the Signia 60%. Nice night on the radio. I would actually like to hear how they actually got to that. But nevertheless, fees will always be a focus, and I think it's a focus from the independent financial advisor's point of view as well. Again, what I do think is if you're focusing on quality, and it's like with all things in life, I don't think you can expect quality in service or in product at the lowest fee. So I think everyone should decide on what is the sort of product and service they're looking for and then position accordingly. In terms of the index trackers, I think there's a little bit of a misconception in terms of the actual price of index trackers. I also think there's a very good article that Carl Leidenberg has written from Coronation about index trackers and the active decisions that clients make when choosing one of these indices trackers and whether they understand that risk or not. I think in most instances they don't. So also on the radar is obviously robo-advising. I don't think there is such thing. I think there's something like robo-investing currently in existence. But I think clients should determine what are they looking for. Someone will need to spend the time to make a decision on what is applicable and how those tools are applied. And if that time spent is on the advisor side, obviously there's a cost to that. If it's in their own time, there's obviously a cost to that as well, which is generally not priced in. But I think I'm in favour for both of those. I think there's a place for index trackers. It's a tool that can reduce the cost. It's generally a tool that's more difficult to enter into because it's a lot more critical, the entrance point. And then again, robo-advising is opening up a whole different part of this segment of the market that is currently financial advisors are unable to service profitably. So again, I think it's a value add. It's a good idea, and we'll definitely incorporate that into our service.
Thank you, Rikus. That was Rikus Nell. He is a financial planner at Brainthurst Wealth.